following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one.
Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone, from Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. It is the first Monday of the football season. Doug and Daddy Show with you here on ESPN Radio as we get ready for Bo Pelini's press conference here at the bottom of the hour. Same routine as in the years past. He'll come up about 11:30. We'll hear from the coach. We'll discuss what's going on here for this season opener Saturday against Florida Atlantic. The Owls come in for a 2:30 kickoff, of course, and that game will be on the Big Ten Network and the Breeze 94.5. We're glad to have you along with us today here in Lincoln. We'll find out more about this football team that we've been hearing about, of course, all during the offseason, and finally fall camp is over, and they're able to bring us into the first full week. It's obviously the first day of school here in Lincoln, so you've got the kids checking in. Now you'll have more than 105 players at practice. All those that weren't in those first 3 weeks will be able to report and practice with the football team here this week. That will be part of the talk. Some of the other notes, and maybe we'll find out more today, but Coach Pelini spoke briefly after practice on Saturday. They went about 90 minutes, a little walkthrough like they do to end fall camp every single year. Coach hasn't done some of the things for the program, or maybe we should say hasn't done some of the things early, like name captains or award the scholarships to walk-on players or talk about who's redshirting and who's not. We may hear a lot more about that today here because the coaches obviously have the weekend to put that stuff together. We do know that the injury situation, most notably from our area, Hastings and Zach Stirrup, who is looking to maybe get that start at the right tackle position, looks like he is questionable, according to Coach Pelini. He says he believes no problem that he's a lock to be back for the McNeese State game, the Week 2 game, but Pelini said that right now he's questionable for the opener on Saturday. Then you'd be looking at Givens Price, Matt Finnan at that right tackle position. Pelini said both players have had really good camps and feels comfortable with the position going into the first game. Andy Janovich looks like he could play. Problem is with Janovich, how much would they need him to play anyway? As we heard from Steve Simple last week when we were chatting with him, the fullback just isn't used for much more than special teams, so we'll see what happens there. Brandon Riley, also questionable to play this week. Tight end Greg Hart missed practice as well, but we'll see how things trot out there with the depth chart. Learn a lot more today from Coach Pelini, so stay with us for that. He's expected to come to the podium at about 11:30 this morning. So a little less than 20 minutes, and we'll hear from the coach as we get ready for the opening week of the season. And of course, just about everybody getting into action. A few games on Thursday that we'll have for you here on ESPN, and then a majority on Saturday. And as we said, some real, as there is every year, some real marquee games that we'll be looking at, that we'll be going after, that we'll be talking about, and we'll be getting the chance to discuss as the week moves along. It's a busy week for us here. Don't forget Wednesday. It's our kickoff. Big Red Luncheon will be in Grand Island with Sean Callahan of Husker Online at the Plottage. Doors open at 11:30, and they'll serve lunch. Sean will begin speaking at about 12 noon, so that gets going at noon. He'll give you a breakdown of the entire team, the very latest news from the Huskers, a little bit of recruiting, and of course, the best part, as always, is the opportunity to ask Sean questions on anything you want. Sean's full of knowledge, and make your reservations by contacting Home Federal in Grand Island. They are one of our corporate sponsors for the Big Red Lunches, and they are hosting the first Big Red Lunch of the season, as always, at the Plottage this Wednesday. So contact Vanessa there at Home Federal and get your reservations made. Lunch is only $5. Thursday, we will have the first Loper Luncheon of the year. We will be at the University of Nebraska at Kearney for their fall luncheon. We'll hear from the Loper coaches, Kearney High and Kearney Catholic fall coaches, as they get ready for their upcoming fall sports season. A few of those sports course already getting underway, and we're still a week away from UNK and Hastings College, a week from Saturday for Hastings College, a week for Thursday for UNK and football and volleyball as well. We did get a little volleyball underway this weekend. Coach John Cook, speaking here right now in Lincoln, was very pleased with their red-white scrimmage on Saturday night, and went four sets, over 6,000 fans on a summer Saturday, filled the Devaney Center, and he says it's just something that you don't see many places, maybe Hawaii, Nebraska, another school or two, and that's about all you're going to see. Really like the play of the libero. Some new names in there, although a lot of faces that you'll recognize as the volleyball team gets ready as they open the season with some big guns. 13th-ranked Florida State comes in Friday, and 3rd-ranked Stanford comes in Sunday afternoon. So if you're coming to Lincoln, it can be a huge weekend, volleyball, football, volleyball for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Now, Hastings College volleyball team, pretty impressive in their first weekend. They go 3-1 at the Oklahoma Baptist Tournament. They dropped their opener to the defending national champion, Texas at Brownsville, and they played three sets in that one, but they do bounce right back on Friday night, take care of 14th-ranked Oklahoma Baptist in four sets, winning one of those sets 25-9. Then on Saturday, a four-set win over John Brown University and a sweep of St. Thomas. So they are now 3-1 on the season, and we'll be back in action Friday at the Bellevue Labor Day Classic, playing Evangel University at 3 in the afternoon. Four more matches coming up there. Hastings soccer also got underway this weekend. The women's soccer team fell twice to Graceland, 2-0 Saturday, and to Grandview, 3-2 yesterday. They are now off until heading to Kansas Wesleyan September the 5th. The Hastings men's soccer team will open up their season this weekend. So there's a little update on what's going on for our area schools, Hastings College, UNK, and of course here at Nebraska. If you'd like to be part of the show, we'd love to hear from you. You can email the Ben Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. The Twitter address, at ESPN1460-1550. You can also give us a buzz, 888-455-ESPN. Coach John Cook, by the way, will join us tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. So we've got a lot of good stuff coming up this week, and we'll be hearing from Coach Bo Pelini towards the bottom of the hour here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I want to let you know that here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth on the road, and they're going to be on the road with us quite a bit this week as we get ready not only for college football, but the start of the high school football season. Check out the great deals. They are going through the month of August with their Labor Day sale right up until September 2nd. Every place has some extra incentives from the General Motor dealership, so check that out. Find out more. South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. They are there for you to take care of business. You can go to thinkmidway.com. Like them on Facebook. They'll have some special deals for you there as well. Thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. We'll take a break and be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show on this Monday edition right after this.
What does success look like for you? Maybe it's time to start something new at Complete Nutrition, a clean, comfortable place where you can discuss your health and nutritional needs on a personal level. It's more than just a store. It's an experience. Want a supplement plan that works with your lifestyle? For mature men, there's TrueForm from Complete Nutrition. This daily metabolism-boosting multivitamin has everything you need for long-term wellness. TrueForm supports heart health, a better prostate, energy, mood, memory, and reinvigorates male vitality. TrueForm Power and Performance, a multivitamin for men. Complete Nutrition. Success starts here.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look.
I worked in pro baseball for a long time, and we play on Sundays. And it was an easy excuse. I took the easy out and just didn't go to Mass. Got caught up in that whole selfishness, that whole, I can do it all. The times when I was struggling were the times I needed God the most. And now that I've come back and accepted God, my world has completely changed.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Who likes contracts? Whether it's your gym membership or cell phone service, nobody likes contracts, right? That's why you should choose Prairie iNet. They offer amazing internet service and you never, never have to sign a contract. You will get fast, reliable service for streaming video, playing online games, and social media. They're locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. And there is no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, no gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable, high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of streaming video, playing online games, and social media. Oh, and how about never having to sign a contract and a 30-day money-back guarantee? Prairie iNet is locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. No gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
18.3% of Buffalo County high school students reported riding in a car driven by someone who had been drinking, and 8.1% reported driving when they had been drinking alcohol. Parents, take a stand and talk to your kids about drinking and driving. This message was brought to you by Positive Pressure and Buffalo County Community Partners.
Hi, I'm Weather Eye Meteorologist Ray Miller. Severe weather season is here once again, and when storms threaten, it's essential to stay informed. The best way to do that is to keep your radio tuned right here. Weather Eye's team of meteorologists is on duty 24/7 with the latest technology, providing you with live storm updates to keep your family safe. And for even more weather information, follow us at Weatherology on Twitter, where you'll find storm reports, interesting weather blogs, photos, and more. That's at Weatherology on Twitter.
We'll be right back.
Night Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, awaiting Bo Pelini's press conference here in Lincoln at Memorial Stadium as we get ready for game week. Things change. Fall camp, that's just a whole different monster from what they'll do week to week. This is game prep. This is the same routine every single day. There's no two-a-days, obviously, and you have your installation. Now you're worried about what you're doing for each opponent and keeping things fresh and going through the repetition, trying to get better, try to develop depth, and maybe even take a look at some of those kids that weren't on the initial 105 and hope that you can stay out of injuries. And don't forget, folks, when it is lunchtime, the place to go is the Kearney Chicken Coop. Stop by the Kearney Chicken Coop, Avenue A in Kearney, for their Monday lunch special, which is a steak sandwich with your choice of side, only $7.49. You can pick that up anytime at the Chicken Coop. 11 to 4 is their lunch special. And, of course, don't forget appetizer specials from 2 to 5.30, long necks as well, draws for just 2 and a quarter. So if you have a late lunch or you get off work earlier, you just want to enjoy some happy hour afternoon fun, the Chicken Coop in Kearney is the place to be. Open 7 days a week. Getting you ready for college and NFL football. Every game that you want on is on at the Kearney Chicken Coop. Well, the Little League World Series wrapped up this weekend, and it looked like Nevada couldn't be beaten by anybody, and the kids from Chicago, Illinois, who had been getting a lot of press, they stepped right up and got the job done to win the United States Championship Saturday 7-5, then fell to South Korea 8-4. Always interesting, I think, to see what the mentality is. I mean, basically, you have one tournament, you're trying to be the international champ, you're trying to be the United States champion, and then there's one more game. It seemed back in the day that international game on Saturday on Wide World of Sports on ABC, that's what it was all about. I'm not so sure that's the case anymore. If you are the United States champion or the international champion, that seems to be bigger than the actual game that's played on Sunday. And it's also, I know the world's not fair, but we talked about it last week. You know, Nevada lost one game, but since it was at the wrong time, they didn't get to play in the championship. Chicago lost earlier in the tournament. I believe it was 13-2 to Nevada. Well, that tells me that Nevada was a better team than Chicago. They outscored them 18-9. They doubled them up. They beat them up. They played better than they did. But yet, each team had one loss to each other. And just because it was Saturday instead of earlier in the tournament bracket, they get messed around. And in this day and age, it's all done for television, and I understand that. But there's so many networks and so many places to put this stuff. If you have to play, I mean, the College World Series, ESPN, heck, if they don't have that Game 3, they fill it in with alternative programming that night. Why can't you do that for the Little League World Series? Plan the championship game on Saturday, and if you have to go to that extra game, then play it on Sunday. I don't know, just a thought there. Since it's such a great event that you hate to get it watered down as it is. They're there a long time. They're there a couple of weeks. And as we know from the Kearney kids that made it a couple of years ago, when you leave for the regionals, you're gone almost an entire month. So there you go. We'll see how that hope folks got a chance to see a lot of it. It seemed like a lot of people were watching the Little League World Series this year, and I don't know if it was because of the young lady and Monet Davis, if it was because of the Chicago team, if it was because of the Nevada team that was hitting the ball so well and playing so well, if it was their deal and making it out of that California region. You're always used to seeing the California team. They were the first Nevada team to qualify. So whatever the case may be, that is in the books. And in volleyball, we talked a little bit about that for the Huskers and Hastings College. Not a whole lot. I mean, it was the last weekend. As we said, Friday. It's the last Friday before football. Everything kind of slows down on that weekend that we just came through. The summer is basically over. You're going into Labor Day weekend. If you're not in school, you will be. As we said, school starting today here at the University of Nebraska. Let's take a little bit of a look here at what's going on with this Florida Atlantic Owls team. Of course, this is supposed to be the matchup of the Pelini brothers, and it'll be interesting if anybody brings that up today or this week, because this was supposed to be Carl Pelini coaching Florida Atlantic against his brother Bo, who he had coached with on the same staff for a number of years, including when they took over here at Nebraska. Teams have only met once. Nebraska thumped Florida Atlantic in 2009, the season opener here in Lincoln, 49-3. The Florida Atlantic coach now is Charlie Partridge, who is familiar with the area. He's an alum of Drake University. This is his first year as Florida Atlantic's head coach. It's his first first ever head coaching job. He'd served at Pitt, Wisconsin, and Arkansas before taking over the program, where they went interim after Carl Pelini stepped down, resigned, was fired, however you want to put that into words, and then they finished the season off last year. Florida Atlantic was 6-6 last year, won their final four games of the season, and they do return 15 starters on this year's ball club. Of course, if you don't know, if there's something you don't know about Nebraska going into the season today, maybe it'll be answered by the coach today, or we won't know until these guys hit the football field. Nebraska, one of just eight schools entering the year with 800 all-time victories. Well, of course, the Huskers have been so well in their season opener year after year after year. So a great job there for the Big Reds. So that's what's going on with the Huskers. And so fun times as we get ready for Saturday's contest. Again, we're getting ready for a Bo Pelini's press conference here. And as we mentioned, we kind of chuckled on the way down. Mike Will, along with us here at the press conference today, still a couple of Hastings College former coaches trying to get the job done here. Ross Ells in his fourth year, and Barney Cotton in his seventh year with this program, eighth year overall with the Nebraska football team. So there you go. Nebraska getting ready for Florida Atlantic. The season kicks off at around 2:30 coming up on Saturday afternoon. 9:30 pregame on the Breeze, 94.5. It's also the 125th season of Nebraska football, and there'll be some special commemorative things going on throughout the season talking about that. Some of it's already been going on Huskers.com. They've also done a little work here. You'll notice that the new scoreboard, it's not a new scoreboard, but on the north side, the Jumbotron, we'll have a little bit more added to it, maybe a few more speakers, a little more decoration there. But for the first time in quite a while, no major visual renovations. Of course, last year is when the new seats opened on the east side, and we had all the cranes and everything, and trying to finish that up when we were here 1 year ago at this time for the season opening press conference. It's all gone. They've been working on the field. We're raking that this morning, as a matter of fact, just raking the turf to get it ready for the first game on Saturday. We will take another break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and then we should be very close to hearing from head coach Bo Pelini here in Lincoln.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Every day you struggle to attract new customers and keep the ones you have while keeping the business running and staying in a budget. Get noticed with help from Copycat Printing. Their design and printing teams can go big with banners, yard signs, even wraps for your company vehicles. They can make sure you stand out at a fair or convention with a booth that will turn heads. If you can imagine it, they can design it and print it. Copycat Printing, across from the Kearney Chicken Coop, or visit KearneyCopycat.com. Copycat Printing, a better idea.
Looking for a great job? Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating is currently hiring service plumbers and heating and cooling technicians. Experience is preferred, but if you're hardworking and dependable, Anderson Brothers is willing to provide training. You'll benefit from an excellent starting wage and a great benefit package, which includes health insurance, 401k, and a cafeteria plan. To apply or for further information, stop in person at Anderson Brothers Kearney or Holdridge location during regular business hours. Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating, an equal opportunity employer.
Nearly 650,000 Americans were injured at work last year. In construction, agriculture, medicine, manufacturing, or an office, safety and wellness are the keys to a happy, healthy workplace. Join us at the UNS Conference Center in Kearney, September 25th, for a one-day conference featuring over 20 breakout sessions, comedian Greg Schwemm, a full exhibit hall, and more. Full information and registrations are at GreatPlainsSafety.com. Early bird registration ends August 29th. Be safe, be well. Log on to GreatPlainsSafety.com.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service from seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design.
Did you just chug that entire 20-ounce pop?
Yeah, I needed energy.
You'll need energy to run the 2.5 miles it takes to burn those calories.
2.5 miles? From one pop?
Drinking only 6 pops a month could add 5 pounds of fat in a year.
Wow. So if I drank one a day, that's like 25 pounds a year.
You better get running.
Maybe I'll just rethink my drink and choose water.
Water's a great choice. Visit ActivateBuffaloCounty.com for more info on rethinking your drink.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Time for our Midtown Mart Cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. So we've been breaking down the NFL divisions and letting you give us an idea of who you think is going to be making the playoffs and winning different divisions over the weekend. We asked about the NFC South and the Saints. The winner, I guess, in your opinion, but just barely over the Panthers, 45% to 35%. Falcons come in third, and the Buccaneers come in fourth. So that's what we've got going on there. Also, our Midtown Mark Cooler question today, who's going to win the AFC South? The Colts, the Texans, the Jaguars, or the Titans? You can vote anytime at ESPNSuperstation.com. Bo Pelini has just walked past us, and if I saw it right, he's wearing a red blazer today, which might have something going on. It'll be very interesting as Coach Pelini is walking into the press conference, and as soon as he is seated and mic'd up, then we will switch it into the press conference here at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln for Coach Pelini and his inaugural press conference talking about Florida Atlantic and answering everybody else's questions from around the state of Nebraska, getting ready for Saturday's game at 2:30. So we'll hear from Coach Pelini, then give you our thoughts, and looks like the coach is ready to go.
The team elected captains yesterday, and on offense it'll be we have three on offense: Amir Abdullah, Kenny Bell, and Jake Cotton, and two on defense, Corey Cooper and Josh Mitchell. We previously, but we never really officially announced it, we had a couple walk-ons that were put on scholarship. Sam Birch, Sam Foltz, Brandon Riley. And that previously wasn't announced. There will be a few other walk-ons that will go on scholarship here for fall semester and in for this year, and we'll announce that in a later time when we get it all, you know, when all the I's get dotted and T's get crossed. But it's a good group, like what we have going into the year. We've got a lot of good work done. I'm looking forward to, you know, the upcoming season. I think our kids are anxious to play against somebody besides hitting each other. And I think they're looking forward to that, and I know I am, and you know, get this thing started. So open up for any questions you guys have.
How much Sam Foltz, how much has he grown up or just gotten used to the pressures that he got on it?
You know, Sam's done a heck of a job. I think he's really come along. Obviously, he's our punter, also our holder on the field goal unit, and he's really, you know, come along fast. I think he's exceeded expectations, and I tell you what, I have a tremendous amount of confidence in him, and I think he's only going to get better with time. He worked very, very hard in the off season, and I think he'll have a big year for us.
Kind of coach yourself a little bit at that spot, don't you? Being a specialist and Well,
I know one thing. I'm not coaching them because I don't know much about punting. But, you know, JP, you know, Coach Papuchis, you know, he's probably the one that does, you know, he probably knows the most about punting on our staff. He's done it in the past. And, you know, but, yeah, you got to pretty much coach yourself. And at the same time, you know, he takes the opportunity to work with some different people in the off season to kind of get the, you know, the fine details and the things that are going to help him progress as a punter.
Coach, from the beginning of camp until today, who are maybe a few of the guys that you think have taken the biggest steps forward?
Ooh, from the beginning of camp to today, I tell you, you know, a guy like, you know, Utter on the offensive line has done really well. I think he's come a long way. Really made a lot of progress, and I think he's really going to help us. You know, I think that all the quarterbacks have done a good job. I think all those guys are progressing. That whole group. Those guys stick out to me. You know, on the I think Alonzo Moore's come a long way at wide receiver, but he's still got a ways to go yet. On the defensive side of the football. I've seen a lot of guys make progress. You know, now the test will come. You know, the test will be, you know, once we get to, you know, the first game, can we apply what we've learned? Can we react, you know, with 93,000 in the stands? And that's where the true test comes. But I've seen a lot of guys, really across the board, people have made progress, but, you know, that progress has to continue. I told guys, you know, the natural reaction when you kind of finish fall camp, you get school started, is to kind of take a breath and like, well, I got that behind me, but it's just starting. And, you know, the sense of urgency you start camp with, you know, you got to have that sense of urgency and carry that on right on through, with school starting into the first game and then for, you know, 13 weeks or, you know, 13 games, hopefully.
Nice for us today.
You know, it's 125th year. I wanted to, you know, pay my respects to Coach Devaney and Coach Osborne. And actually, I was just downstairs trying on some different things that we're thinking about doing for game day, and I really didn't have time to change. So, I like the look.
Alex Lewis
is on scholarship, yes.
How much more settled do you feel like your middle linebacker position compared to a year ago?
Oh, it's a lot more settled. You know, obviously we would much like it if Michael Rose was in that mix, but, you know, unfortunately he went down. But I think Josh Banderas has done a good job of stepping up. Trevor Roach has done a good job. Have confidence in both those young men, and I think we'll be better around those guys. Are they where we want them to be yet? No, not quite. But believe me, it's night and day compared to where we were a year ago, as far as our understanding of the defense and our ability to execute.
What's the biggest difference in Banderas? What's some steps you've seen him take this offseason?
Well, I mean, he's grown. He has a lot better handle of the defense, the techniques that are required to do it, to have success on that side of the football. I think he's playing a lot more physical because I think he's a lot more more comfortable in the position. And, you know, I think that I like where he is right now. I like that he's significantly improved right now.
Is Javon Walton here now that school started, or what's his situation?
Javon is, we've worked through some things with Javon, some things that he's working through if he follows through with all those things, which I anticipate he will, then there's a good chance you'll see him in January.
Coach, obviously injuries are part of the game. How comfortable are you with the depth behind those guys that have been hurt?
Like I said, anytime you lose good football players, you take a hit. You can't just replace guys, and because those guys are all good football players. But we feel good. You know, it happened at a point in time when it was earlier, where you can plan for certain things and guys have an opportunity to learn, step up, and show the ability to help us. And I think that, like I said, is it good that we lost them? Absolutely not. And, you know, you feel for those kids, but I think that the people who have stepped into those roles have done it really well, and I feel good going in.
Last year you played a lot of young guys on defense and obviously had some bumps early. I mean, how much more comfortable is that, and how much has that helped you guys as a defense with that experience those guys got a year ago?
It's helped me because at this point last year I was I knew what was ahead of us. And we're, like I said, I think on the defensive side of the football, we're still a work in progress, but we're significantly ahead of where we were a year ago. Like, not even in the same ballpark. And, you know, that's gives me a sense of level of comfort. You can just talk to guys at a different level than you could a year ago. I mean, last year we were just hoping to get lined up. And you know, now... Yeah, you know, because it's, let me tell you, it's harder to play defense these days. There's a lot more, formations. It's more spread out. You see a lot more variety on a week to week basis. Teams are a lot more multiple, and it's, let's face it, you know, a lot of these guys were playing for the first time last year, and you get to this level of college football, it's a lot different than what they've seen in college, and the things that are required of them to have success in our defense, you know, requires discipline. It requires some knowledge of what's going on, not only what we're doing defensively, but what offenses are doing. And we're a lot more, we're further along, obviously, and we're more prepared to be able to handle the things that we're going to see.
You're starting front door defense. None of those guys have played a game before last season. Now, BTN rolls in, you're a lot of people say that's one of the best defensive lines in the country. That's quite a jump. 1 year. Talk a little bit about Gregory McMullen, Collins, Valentine, just their growth curve and their potential as a unit.
I think we have tremendous potential as a unit. I mean, I like what I've seen from those guys. I think their backups are coming along. We're deeper than we were a year ago. And I mean, even on the front line, we didn't have necessary starters last year, like guys that, you know, we were trying to find out about a lot of these guys a year ago, and those guys played at a pretty high level through camp. And like I say, you can coach, you know, try to, as far as refining them now. And, you know, like I said, where a year ago it was, front to back. I mean, we had some experience in the secondary, but that whole front seven was young. And it made it difficult. You know, there were times where you could see that talent last year, and there were times when, we just weren't very good. But it wasn't, you know, it was an unfortunate, you know, it's just a situation we were in. I thought we got better as the year went on, and we continued to get better through the offseason, and I think that's what we're seeing right now.
Valentine had played most, pretty much from the very first game. McMullen and Collins were not quite there right away. When did you kind of see light turn off of those two guys?
Which two, Sam? I'm sorry, which two?
When did the light kind of turn off of those guys last year? And how have you seen those two guys progress in the last 6 months?
Well, I think I thought the light more turned on for those two guys in spring practice. And, there were some good things last year, but there were things that we obviously needed to get a lot better at, and they needed to progress along. And every guy comes along at a different pace. And, those two guys are, if you put on the film from last year and then the way they're playing right now, it's not even close. They've made significant jumps. And I can really say the same thing about Vincent Valentine. I mean, Vincent Valentine's a lot more consistent. Has grown up, matured, is a football player. He's always been a mature young man, but I'm talking about maturing as a football player, and he's made a significant jump also.
What can fans expect to see different from last year when it comes to punt return?
What can fans expect to see that's different? I don't know hopefully we'll execute at a higher level.
Amir Abdullah,
obviously a stud last year. What is he better this year? Are you seeing things that just make him better than he was last year?
Amir? I think he worked his tail off like he always does in the off season. He's strong. He's stronger. He's a little bigger. And, probably more explosive than he was. Another year, we've done we haven't overused him in camp. I think we've done a good job of managing him, but, giving him enough work to that he can, progress and move along. And I like where he is. I think he's in a great mental state. And I think we need to play well around him to enable him to do what he does. He's going to play, and he's going to play well.
Decided to come back for this year after
the season. Obviously. Amir's talked a lot about wanting to participate on special teams. I guess what if any roles do you see for him on special teams?
He has a number of different roles in the return game. As far as returning, as far as we have a couple unique roles that we're whether we use them week one, I don't know, but there's some different things that. That we've worked him at. He's good at everything he does. He's great, great balance, great strength, and he competes. And he wants to be out there, and we're going to use him some.
Have you looked at him like in punt block?
I've looked at him in a number of different roles.
Coach, obviously, Tommy Armstrong with some experience is going to be the guy going in. But is there a plan in place to get Fife in the mix, sort of like what you did with Cal Wild last year?
Tommy's, he's going to go in, he's going to start the game Saturday and we're going to play to win the football game, and we're going to do what we need to do. We're not, when you see Riker, and first of all, I have a lot of confidence in Riker, and I have a lot of confidence in Johnny Stanton. When you see him, the situation and the game will dictate. We're not going to, I'm not going to sit there and say, hey, we're going to play him in this series or that series. At the end of the day, we're going to do what we need to do to win the football game and move this football team along. And Tommy Armstrong is going to be that guy under center. And when we see fit as a coaching staff to get Riker in there or anybody else in there for that matter, that's when you'll see him.
How much better of a game manager do you think he has to get this year for your offense and your team going?
I think that's always the case with any quarterback. The more you have to experience some things, especially at that position, to progress, to move along. And I think has a lot better handle of the offense. I think he understands how to use the offense for him. Is he perfect? No. There's not a guy out there that is perfect that plays that position. And there's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of things that are on his shoulders just by the nature of that position. And I know this, he's a lot more prepared to line up and be under center this year than he was at this point a year ago. Or even at the end of last year. But does that mean he's going to be perfect? No, he's going to make a mistake. I've never seen anybody play a perfect football game. He's going to make his mistakes, and hopefully he understands that there are times when to and when not to. There are certain times that, he's learned. There are times when you take your check down. There's times when you can take your shots. There's times that not only understanding the offense, but understanding situational football. And I think we've spent a lot of time on that. He's worked through some growing pains, which everybody has through those situations, and I think he'll continue to get better as we move along.
Buzzword is kind of efficiency, right? You want to keep moving and
change. Absolutely. You want to be, efficiency is the key. Keeping ourselves out of long yardage situations, moving the sticks, giving us winnable third downs, all those things, and also knowing the time, it's okay to take off and run, and times when it's time to throw the football away, and all those things playing, and it's hard when you have the ball in your hands every down, it's difficult. That's what makes it hard at that position. You're the focal point, the spotlight's on you, and really every decision you make, both good and bad, can become magnified.
Hey, Coach, I'm curious about your tight end position, Stephen Carr specifically. You envision him having a bigger role in the passing game this year?
We sure hope so. I think Seathan's a really talented kid. He's had a great camp, and he's physical. He's a guy who can do it all. I mean, he's physical in the run game. He can get down and get down the field on you in the passing game. He has great hands. Understands the passing game. I feel like he's a heck of a football player. And he's still young. He's only a sophomore.
What are the challenges you face with a new coach who's having a portal and just getting ready for an opener, not knowing really what you're going to see?
Well, you know, you always deal with that to a certain extent, going into a first game and sometimes even the second game, which will be the case this year, you know. But you just, you know, because they won't have played a game before us. But, you know, there's always you got to prepare for a lot, and you got to be ready to make adjustments. And at the end of the day, you got to prepare, you know, to execute your football. What they're going to do and how much change they've made in the offseason, you know, it's hard to tell. You do your homework, you use your best guesswork, and you prepare your guys. And you know, the biggest key is not to over-prepare and have your guys chasing ghosts. You just have to, you know, lean on their training that you're going to be able to apply your roles to things you maybe haven't seen up to this point. And, you know, there are times where, you know, probably more so than as you move on during the year is, you know, you might give up something because, I mean, you know, you might see something you haven't seen and a guy might not react the right way and it might cost you some yards or a big play or whatever it may be. And you can't panic. You just got to teach them. You got to move on and at that time make your adjustments.
Quarterback, you got a returning quarterback. What jumps out
about Jaquez
Johnson?
He has a strong arm. I think he has a good arm, a big arm. He runs fairly well. I think he manages the offense well. I think he has a good handle of what they did a year ago. I don't know how much they've changed, but you know, he's a guy that can kind of do everything you ask him to do. He's strong arm. He has good running ability. You know, it seems to make good decisions.
Did your personal feelings about this game change with Carl's departure down there?
It's not about personal feelings when it's about our football team.
Has Carl talked to you at all about their personnel?
No, I haven't had a lot of conversation about that.
When he was a young guy, Josh Mitchell, would you have imagined that he would be up here telling us that he was the captain when he's a senior?
No. I think Josh has come a long way. You know, Josh is always, one of my favorite guys and guys I've coached, you know, it's always rewarding. Every kid that you get is kind of goes through down a different path has, you know, they all have different backgrounds and they have different things that they have to grow in. And what I've seen Josh has really grow and mature, not only as a young man, but as a football player and buying into, I just used him as an example to another player as far as, eventually the light came on for him on the football field as far as buying into tech, you know, the technique and the how to. And when he did, his game really progressed and, you're not going to have a guy who's going to compete any harder than Josh and play harder than he is. But, you know, early on in his career, he was a little bit his worst enemy in that he wasn't enough into the details of what we were asking him or how we were asking him to play. Once he bought into that, you really saw him progress.
How comparable is your defense going into the season from last year?
Comparable?
Yeah. What you thought your defense towards the end of the year and your overall assessment going into this season, where do you think you're going to stand compared to last year?
You know what? It doesn't really matter the way I see it right now. It's what are we going to put on the field? And are we going to be the finished product on Saturday? No. I mean, you never are. But I'm looking forward to see what's put it out there on the field. Time to talk is over. It's let's find out where we are on Saturday and let's find out what, you know, from there. We'll assess it and figure out where we need to go from there. That's my approach. That's how I'm looking at it. And I feel good about our team going in defensively, offensively, and what we've done up to this point special teams-wise. But Saturday will be a little a starting point, and then we'll move from there.
How much of an emphasis, I'm sure there's been an emphasis, maybe it's greater now, forcing turnovers defensively? Particularly.
That's always an emphasis. You know, get the increased, you know, the turnovers will come if you execute the right way, the takeaways. You know, your opportunities will increase as you play better. I mean, there is no magical thing. You know, I can sit there and we could sit there in a room and have a seance and talk about getting the ball out, but if we're not executing our defense, it's not going to happen. If we're not in the right spots, you're not going to have as many opportunities. When the opportunities come, you got to take advantage of them. And really, it's the same thing offensively. You know, we've talked over and over and over. We need to be better in the turnover margin. That has to happen for this football team. But talking about it, emphasizing it, yeah, we can drill it all day, but we need to do it on Saturdays. That has to happen. And time will tell.
Taking advantage of the opportunities, is that, I would assume, it's easier to do it when you have a veteran unit?
Well, yeah, because I think when you have a veteran unit, you have guys that are more confident in where they are and what they're doing, and they're going to execute hopefully at a higher level. You know, if you're in better positions, you have a lot of better opportunity to have those opportunities. And, you know, like a year ago, when your eyes are always in the wrong place and you're out of position and you're having trouble, you know, having 11 guys handling their responsibility, it's a lot easier, or it's a lot harder to have guys in the right positions. There are sometimes, and, you know, I mean, let's face it, so, you know, sometimes it's luck, you know, some of the things that happen, but you got to make your own luck too in being in the right places to increase the opportunities.
Hey, Wisconsin, Wisconsin's getting a truckload of money to go down to Houston to play LSU. Is that something you guys will ever consider in the future if the money's right, or are you prefer to just do the home division?
If the schedule sets up right, yeah, I mean, we're not opposed to it. I've actually, you know, had that conversation with Sean, and you know, we're not going to shy away from playing anybody, but it's got to fit up right with the schedule, you know, with the rest of your schedule, and you know, it's got to be the right, you know, the thing's got to fall in the line right, and just depends on, you know, how things are set up.
Does it have to be a recruiting territory? Like somewhere where, you know, you're going to get exposed?
Not necessarily, because usually in those games, if it's a right opponent, you know, we recruit nationally enough that you know, I think that every, you know, be hard to be outside of our recruiting territory, and you're going to get exposure. Most of those games are nationally televised, so it's a good thing for your program.
Yeah, but what kind of thought do you give to the importance of continuing every week to sell out this stadium?
Excuse me?
What kind of thought have you given, do you give to the importance of continuing every week to sell out this stadium?
I think it's important, but how much thought do I give it? You know, it's not really my job. My job's hopefully put the best product out on the field, and that'll hopefully take care of itself.
Obviously, Big Ten play starts in late September. Braxton Miller's out for Ohio State. What's your impression of the Big Ten today?
I think it's going to be a great conference. I think it's deep, and I think there are a lot of good football teams, and that's about all I can. I'm concerned about this week. I'm not concerned about what's going to go on in the end of September in the league play. I just want to get our football team ready, and, you know, looking forward to see, you know, where we are right now. And I do know this, that we're going to be we'll be a different team by the time the Big Ten play comes around than we are right now. That's all. It normally always plays out that way.
Good.
Thanks, guys.
If your company or farm is accepting bids on replacing your roofing system,
Call the company that provides the best products, the best workmanship, and the best service after the job is completed. Lampman Roofing Company. Your project is not handed off to some subcontractor. Eddie Lampman is personally on every job assuring you that your project is always the top quality that you expect. Lampman's spray-on weather and waterproofing systems make your roof look and work like brand new for many years to come for a lot less money. Farmers enjoy Lampman systems that seal leaky grain bin walls and roofs. For a free, no-pressure quote, call 800-942-4331 or 402-670-9167. Saving you on your re-roofing and energy, Lampman Roofing Company. 800-942-4331 for your quote. An A-plus rated Better Business Partner.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Today, anything coming off Saturday, and there wasn't a whole lot new. Mike Will is down here with me at the press conference, and Mike, what did you get out of today's talk?
A very typical season opening sort of a press conference. Like you said, we talked a lot about what has been going on in camp, and very little about the Florida Atlantic. Talked about their quarterback, and obviously Bo liked the Florida Atlantic quarterback, said he can do a lot of different things. It's one guy that Nebraska will have to stop. Talked about turnovers. He says the turnovers are going to come both offensively and defensively if they execute like they're supposed to be. And he says there's no magic formula or anything to force turnovers and things like that. Talked a little about the backup quarterbacks behind Tommy Armstrong, if they would get to see some playing time in the ball game on Saturday. He wouldn't commit to seeing Riker 5-4. Johnny Stanton, he says his number one goal was to win the football game. He was going to let the game play out, and if they can get Riker or Johnny Stanton some snaps in the football game on Saturday, they certainly would. They talked a lot about the defense and the progress that it has made. He says we're night and day compared to where we were last year at this time, especially with the younger players, I guess, pursuing another year in this defense. So it was a very typical, not a whole lot of information coming out of the press conference just a minute ago.
Well, Coach, as he always says, we'll see what happens. Excuse me. We'll see what happens when they hit the field on Saturday. So, I think we've reached the end of the show. I've reached the end of my voice, apparently, for today. Tomorrow, Jack Gangwish is scheduled to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, looking for some playing time and providing some depth for the Huskers. We'll also have Nebraska volleyball coach John Cook and a lot more about what happened at today's press conference. So we thank you for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show every Monday, Bo Pelini's press conference here on ESPN Radio. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.